allow that. Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Do you hear enough ads in your life? Do you see enough ads in your life? Are you enjoying the quality of the ads? Do you think they were better when you were a kid? We're wondering what the state of the advertising business is in the 21st century, and we thought the best way to find out about that was to get a practitioner in and find out from him. Mark Easterbrook is from Colenso 99, and he joins us now. So, Mark, how does everybody who's working in advertising feel about it at the moment? Speaking as the spokesman of a generation.
Spokesman of an industry and a generation. As sort of man at the coalface working in advertising,
it's really huge. The
uncertain and exciting at the same time. Not uncertain in a bad way. The big thing at the moment is there's this interweb thing out there. You know, there's digital TV coming. There's all these new technologies that are a little bit outside the traditional radio ad, TV ad, newspaper or magazine ad, which we're still trying to feel our way around. What do you do? Where do you take it? How do you use this as a way to get people? And people now have got so many more options about how they want to digest the kind of things which in the past have sat around advertising.
You're seeing a lot of hits and misses with that, you know, with agencies sort of having a tilt at it and missing by a mile?
There is a fair bit of that, I think. I think some people, some clients are very big on it because they're hearing that, you know,
you've got
TV audiences
viral.
Are dropping, people aren't reading newspapers, which might not be the case. But they go, yeah, we want, and well, there's a economic thing too, like what you said, going viral. They've heard these success stories of someone who whacks together a little, you know, 20-second piece of video with their logo on the end for a few hundred dollars, and someone sends it off to all their friends who send it to their friends, and suddenly 500,000, 5 million, 10 million people around the world have seen it. But it still has to be good. You know, it still has to have a reason to send it on. And trying to crack what it is that makes people send those things on is a huge challenge.
And it's trying to be the top of the pyramid, isn't it? The advertising is full of a lot of stuff that isn't, that by definition won't be the top of the pyramid.
No, it's very much, by the time a cool idea of a way to deliver something has got to someone's marketing department, let's just say it's probably matured and approaching its expiry date. So it's a real challenge to find ways to not look like you're recycling something that happened a year and a half ago on the internet, and that, you know, in that kind of media. At the same time, a lot of people see it as a criticism, I think, in advertising, but it's also one of its pleasures, is that it is this wonderful place where things get plucked from everywhere and recombined. And that can sometimes be the beauty of it, or the fun of it, when, you know, you're watching a television ad and you see those little references, you see little things that remind you of something. You know, there's a song that has other associations for you. And I think that's part of the fun. And part of the fun when you're working as a creative is trying to work some of the things you like in there.
Actually, you've reminded me of something. The new promo for TV2 using the old, great old Quincy Conserve song, Air of Good Feeling, I look at that, and that has reminders of other things for me, because I look at these little fragments going through these people and I'm thinking, BitTorrent, which I'm sure is not what TVNZ
Well, when I first saw those, I loved them, but I thought they were going to be lotto ads. All these people are being touched by something which is transforming their life, and for whatever reason, I thought it was going to be a lottery ad. It's like, oh no, wait. It's not that at all. But yeah, that's a great example. A lot of people grumble and complain when a great song gets put on a television ad. But I think there's sort of the other side of that is, well, would you rather people didn't hear it? You know, are you, and maybe, I don't know the answer, but is it being debased because you put that good track to something that's trying to sell something at the end of the day? Or is it meaning that, you know, a few people suddenly go, hey, that's a song that I might go out and buy?
I think I can answer your question there. Yes, it is debasing them.
when Nike
co-opted the Beatles' Revolution, you know, I mean, I think that's wrong. Okay, I just want to ask you about guerrilla marketing, you know, that idea that, you know, there's lots of very smart young people out there presumably doing all this stuff at ground level, and then it gets kind of co-opted into the major ad agencies. Let's flip that question about the music. Is that debasing guerrilla marketing when a huge advertising agency takes the structure, the style of it, and co-opts it? It's no longer guerrilla marketing.
It's not. I don't think it is guerrilla anymore. I think it is something that isn't necessarily the fault of the advertising industry that they're trying to do it. It's something that they're being asked to do, and there's, as I was saying, you know, there are success stories of, oh, such and such did this and it was huge. Why can't we do that too? Why can't we get that return, you know, that much attention, that much a share of people's attention span through doing this guerrilla thing? And you can't sort of say no to it too often if that's what the client's looking for, that's what they want. And I think there's probably a pride thing too. You know, you've got advertising creatives in their 30s or their 40s or their 50s who kind of wish they still were that hip young thing who came up with that in the first place, and they want a piece of that, not so they can claim it as their own, but just to feel like they've still got their finger on the pulse. That's probably, there's an element of that, I would say.
And is the are people hanging around into their 50s, or is it burning out? What's the kind of age makeup these days of an agency?
I can't speak for everyone, because I think mid-30s is probably the real sweet spot of senior people. That's what you've got, into 40s. There are people in their late 40s, early 50s, definitely, but not. It's not a common kind of thing. You know, it's not a high percentage of the people in there. And I do know from several years ago, a creative director who I worked with found, as he hit that sort of early to mid-50s, it became harder and harder to when he needed to go looking for new positions. There was definitely a age bias there.
So what happens then? You end up, if you want to stay in it, you become a freelancer who's just picking off projects?
Well, there's that, or you sort of end up in smaller, less well-known, I guess, places that need someone with a bit of age and experience, a guiding hand. Or you go and, if you've done well, I guess you go and grow grapes in the Hawke's Bay. Seems to be the cliched thing that old ad people go and do.
You might also go into an agency that's aiming for people of your demographic, who are those people over 50 with the disposable income, the baby boomers, all of that. That must be a very big market.
It's sort of a growth market, and New Zealand got its first agency specifically targeting that. I think last year or 2 years ago they established themselves, and I can't remember the name, unfortunately. But
I hope they're not using a whole lot of Creedence Clearwater songs. Yeah.
hopefully not. That baby boomer market is big. I mean, they are the ones who have money that they can spend. They are getting older and older, and people do need to be able to get into the way they think. In New Zealand, for example, working on a car account, we have such a different challenge in New Zealand compared to, for example, working in the US or Europe. The average age of people who buy a new car off the lot, brand new, in New Zealand is, I think, I can't remember exactly, but it's over 45. You know, it's not, there's no cool young things of 22 going out and buying a new car in New Zealand, unless they're very, very lucky, and mummy and daddy are paying for it usually. So often you've got a car brand which is marketing itself to youth or to sort of younger people in another market, and bring it to New Zealand. And the reality is, while that might be the way they want to portray that vehicle, it's actually going to be bought by someone who's twice the age of the people that they would like to talk to. So there's a challenge, and I guess that's the challenge across the board, is every brief you're being told this is the kind of person you want to talk to, and you have to learn to think like them. You
know? It kind of sounds like there is, it's not an industry that's lost its interest for people who are in it. You people in there are engaged by it?
I think so, and I think the rise of digital, to just sort of throw one blanket term over everything, is really reinvigorating a lot of people. It's scaring a lot of people. It's frightening. It's like some of the old standards, things that you knew as and were givens, are going. how do you and embrace these new technologies? How do you get yourself into the space of something like, for example, Facebook, where you know you've got millions of people around the world going into this virtual space? How do you get yourself into that space? And if you're a client, if you're a brand who wants to sell stuff, without people going, what are they doing? Why are they getting into my space? This is where I go to not be advertised to.
So the question's not so much watch the space as which space should we be watching?
Exactly. It's how do you put advertising in front of people that isn't going to make them annoyed at you for putting it there, I think. It has to have, I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably there to sell something. But how do people feel like you didn't just take 30 seconds, 2 minutes of their life that they can't have back? How do you make it that leave them with, you know, a feeling that you've just given them something they enjoyed or that they've got some emotional connection to, rather than, that's not a negative one.